Today we're going to continue part two that we started last week, using the theme shack as our title, but really digging into the scripture. Before I get a quick review, let me read you my opening text today. So let's jump right to it. In Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 38, Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." I can tell you right now, I don't do that very well. That many times I struggle with these very words of Jesus. Don't condemn. Don't judge. Forgive. And then what happens? We become forgiven. Give it. It'll be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Pour it out into your lap. For with the measure you use it, use what? Forgiveness, right? For the measure you use it, forgiveness, it will also be measured back to you. Now, I can tell you in my life, I need a lot of grace. Anybody here say you need a lot of grace in your life? Well, to receive a lot of grace, you got to give away a lot of grace. And I can tell you this one thing, that there's probably no issue, in my opinion, there's probably no issue for a Christian that we struggle with the most than it becomes the heart of forgiveness. Learning to forgive can be one of the most challenging parts of being a Christian that Christ has asked us to do. Not to condemn, not to judge, but to walk in forgiveness. My fact is, the more forgiveness you give away, the more forgiveness you're going to receive for yourself that's given back to you. Now, as we get into this today, I want to tell you that we talked about the shack last week, and I want to reiterate one more time that we're using a few clips from the movie, but I want to make sure you know that the shack is not meant to be a theological way of how the Bible works, a theological portrayal of the Father. Matter of fact, it's just made to be an artistic expression of the characteristics of God. And if you're looking for a theological way of the Father, we never leave the Word of the Lord. Amen? The Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for a Christian, we hold true to that fact that the Scripture becomes the foundation of our theology, and we believe that it is the solid Word of the living God. So today, as we're using some clips, you know, Jesus often talked about things and painted pictures in ways that you and I can understand. And he talked about, when it comes to the characteristics of God, he painted God as a farmer. He painted God as a rich ruler. He painted God as, you know, the person who lost the coin, the woman who lost the coin, looking throughout, couldn't find it, the shepherd, the sheep. I mean, there's a lot of ways, the workers, the king, the servants. He was always painting pictures and stories of the kingdom of God so that we could understand the characteristics of God and we could understand what God wants us to live out. And he would paint these pictures. And I would say the shack is kind of a modern day parable, painting characteristics of God, not meant to be a theological expression. Now, someone said, "Well, Pastor, I saw last week where God appeared to this guy as a woman in the movie." And I would just tell you this, don't take it to heart, okay? This is not meant to be a theological saying God's a woman or God's a man. Remember, I'll tell you this in Scripture, in the book of Isaiah, you will find it where God told the people of Jerusalem and Israel, remember he said this, he said, "Hey, I will have compassion, I will comfort you like a mother comforts their child." And so what was he doing? Was he saying God's a mother? No, but he said God has a mother's love. And so he was trying to paint characteristics that you and I can understand. And as we pick back up in our story this week, we realize that this is what's happening. So remember, Mac, the main character in our story, Mac had a lot of issues in his life, stemming from his childhood. His father was an abusive alcoholic who abused him, who abused his mother. Growing up with that, he hardened his heart toward God, because how could he receive God the Father when he himself never understood the Father's love? He never understood a true relationship with his father. Matter of fact, he hated his father. He resented his father for the way he was raised, and so he had resisted that. Now, he was going to church, kind of going through the motions in his life. His wife had a very personal, intimate relationship with God, and she called him Papa, signifying her her intimate relationship with the Father. But he was like, I'm just kind of going to church with my family. But if God was really real, why did he allow these bad things to happen in our life? And as we talked about last week, that you were never alone. That God has always said, God, where were you when the bad things happened? That Mac in the story, remember that after not only having a difficult childhood, but his youngest kid was kidnapped, only to find that she had been murdered and found that the predator was hiding out in a shack up in the mountains. And so in this vision, he has a car wreck. He's having a dream, and God appears to him in this dream and is coming to him, trying to bring him down the path of healing. And he appears to him as a woman at first and says, you can't handle me as a man yet because you haven't forgiven your father. So I appeared to you as a woman because he had experienced a woman who had been very nice to him as a child, who showed him love and told him how good he was and would bring him in when he was being abused and feed him pie on the front porch. And she just would talk great things to him. He says, but I'm coming to you today in this dream, in Mac's dream, and says, I need to talk to you. And begins to take him on a path of healing. And we remember last week we talked about how he was on the boat. And many times in our life we say, you know, am I in this boat alone? Am I in this boat alone? Why is God allowing these bad things to happen? And I would tell you that God doesn't allow bad things to happen. That we, through our choice of sin, when sin entered the world, we set off a chain of events that set into motion bad things happening in this world. But God, at the same time, sent off a chain of events that brought reconciliation to you and I. He sent his son Jesus to reconcile us. God said, I sent my son Jesus that we may be reconciled to God. And so he's always trying to reconcile us back to the place of fellowship, the place that was intended in the garden. He's trying to reconcile us back. And so Max understanding, I'm not alone. I'm not abandoned in my boat alone. God, you're there to walk it along beside me. Today, we're going to pick back up now. Now, God shows up to Mac in this dream and says, today is going to be a hard day. And so today, I came to you. And he appears to him as an older man because he says, today, what we got to do, the path we got to walk today, is going to require a father. And this older man takes Mac on a path of forgiveness. And they have to go back to the place where his daughter was murdered. And he takes him there to the place and begins to talk about walking through forgiveness in his life. Look at this clip.
So you just let him get away with it.
Nobody gets away with anything. Everything bears consequences.
What he did
was horrible. I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me to do what's right and to know what's best.
And then what?
Forgiveness doesn't establish your relationship. It's just about letting go of his throat. Mac, the pain inside is devouring you, robbing you of joy and crippling your capacity to love.
I can't.
You're not stuck because you can't. You're stuck because you won't.
Have you ever had to forgive somebody who did a terrible wrong to you? Have you ever been faced with that choice to forgive somebody who hurt you, to forgive somebody who's pained you? We all have. There's not a person in this room that hasn't had something bad happen to you or somebody do something wrong to you that you haven't had to struggle with the issue of forgiving them. Look what Romans 12 says in verses 19 through 21. Romans chapter 12 says, do not take revenge. And I struggle with this. Do you struggle with this? I struggle with it. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. You know, we really struggle with this. I think we struggle with it because we want to take revenge ourselves, right? I mean, when somebody does something wrong to me, my natural instinct is, man, let's do it right now. I'm going to bring back revenge. That's my nature. I don't know if that's the nature of being a man, being competitive, or what it is. Am I the only one who's a heathen in this room and say, I struggle with the same thing? All right? We struggle. It's our natural instinct is we want to take revenge. But we're instructed as Christians, says, no, we don't take a spirit of revenge. But we leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As a Christian, what it says here is that I am not to take revenge. I'm to allow God to take the revenge necessary. God, I release this person who hurt me, who wronged me, into your hands. And God, your justice is greater than my justice. How many know that God's a lot better at bringing justice than we are? God's a lot better at repaying and taking care of the wrong son than we are. We just got to learn to trust it, that God's taking care of it, that God is taking care of things. It's mine to avenge. Matter of fact, he says just the opposite. He says if someone does something mean to you, if someone is your enemy, then you learn to be nice to them. And I can tell you there's times when I've done this because I remember these words. All right, I'm not, God, you don't want me to be mean, so I'm just going to be as nice as I can to this person. So in return, I'm heaping hot coals in the spirit on their head. And I can tell you sometimes I was doing that even out of the wrong motivation. Because I'm like, God, keep them, heap them. Heap them hard, God, heap them hard. And so we're called to show kindness to people. We're called to show kindness to those instead of getting revenge. It's a spirit that God has us on. It's the pathway of growth that God has intended for all of us. But it can be the most difficult path for us to walk. Because we naturally want to take revenge ourselves. And I like what he says in this video. Papa said, you're not stuck. Look at this. You're not stuck because you can't. You're stuck because you won't. And some of us here, we've said that, Pastor, I can't forgive. I can't forgive that person. They did terrible wrongs to me. They did terrible wrongs against me. I felt a lot of pain, and they did all this to me emotionally. They wrecked my home, my family. It was just horrible. And I say, we're not stuck because we can't. We're stuck because we choose not to. See, we can choose to stay a prisoner to the shack where all my hurt happens, or I can say, God, I'm letting that go. I'm going to choose the path of forgiveness. I'm not going to be a prisoner to the shack any longer. I'm not going to be a prisoner to that hurt any longer. It's up to me to release that to God. It's not that we can't be released, because the scripture teaches us if we'll just take one path. Listen, I promise you, when you take one path out of the shack, when you leave this place of hurt and you come out and you take one step out, even though you're wanting to hang on because you're mad and you're angry and you're hurt and it was wrong and there was no excuse for it. And we're bitter and we're mad. But I can tell you this, by experience, I'm telling you, I've lived it out many times in my life. When you take one step out and say, God, I'm going to forgive that person, the Holy Spirit meets you there. And takes your hand and empowers you to walk a path of forgiveness you didn't even know you could do. It's something he gives us the grace to do. And matter of fact, I believe this, that we never become more like Jesus than we forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Isn't that so true? We're never more like Christ than we forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Because we're all sinners. We all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of the Lord. Matter of fact, we see the story where Jesus told in Scripture about the man, the king, who called the man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold coins. He said, this man borrowed from him 10,000 bags of gold coins. Because of the law, he hadn't paid him back. He's like, put in prison this man, his whole family, make them work it off for me, make them be slaves to me until they can repay that debt. And the man falls to his knees and begs the king, have mercy on me. I'll pay you back. I'll find a way. Please don't arrest me and my family. Please let me pay it back. And the king showed mercy. He was moved with compassion. He says, arise. No longer do you have this debt to me. I have now forgiven you of all this debt. Leave out of here a free man. The man walks out free, feeling good about himself. And while he's going on his way home, he runs into a man at the corner who owes him one bag of silver coins. And he grabs that man by the shirt and he starts shaking him. Hey, when are you going to pay me my money? Give me my money, dude. I don't have it. And so he, by law, he has the man arrested and says, keep this man arrested until he pays me back the money that he owes me. When the king found out this man who had been forgiven, had just been forgiven of 10,000 bags of gold coins, couldn't forgive the guy who couldn't forgive the guy who couldn't forgive one bag of silver coins. It made him angry. He said, throw that man back in jail. Let him be tortured now because he did not show grace. Because I had given him, forgiven him so much, and he couldn't even show grace so little to somebody else. You see, this is how it works in our life. That you and I have been given grace beyond measure. That we have been given grace in our life. And we're returned, we're to give it away to other people. Even when they don't deserve it. Because the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever acknowledged him, he died for us. Before we ever confessed him as Lord, he died for us. Before we ever even believed in him. Maybe some of you here today, you don't even believe in God. Maybe you don't even believe it's true. Before he still died for you, before you ever acknowledged him. He knew us. He knew us. And today, he died for us long in advance. And so he says, now, I want you to extend grace. I want you to extend forgiveness to those who don't deserve it. And trust me to take care of the vengeance. Trust me to take care of the punishment. You just release them to me and show them grace. It can be a very challenging thing for even the deepest Christian. It can be a very challenging thing for the most seasoned, mature Christian. It can still be the most challenging part of our walk. It's learning to forgive people who hurt us deeply. It's not our natural instinct. But I can tell you it can be the most freeing thing you've ever done in your life. He says, I want you to forgive the killer. He says, I can't forgive him. I can't forgive him. He says, no, you can't. You just won't. He says, I want you to forgive him. Look what Matthew 5:44 says. I tell you what? Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I hate that. But so do you. Come on now. The hardest thing to do is to stop and pray for somebody who's persecuting you. But I can tell you, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, my wife is my witness. She will tell you this. There's been times in our life that when I have felt the pressure of people persecuting me, and I knew there was somebody out there slandering me, persecuting me, that when I stop and pray for that person, that a spirit, not only am I releasing prayers for their family, but I'm also, the Holy Spirit would flood my mind, my heart, and my home, and a peace of God that maybe I hadn't felt in days or weeks would come right in. And I could just feel a release of that burden. I could feel a release of that pressure. Why? Because I'm obeying the words of Christ. I love them. I pray for those who persecute me. See, this is the problem. We want everybody to hurt for the wrong they've done to us, right? We want everybody to hurt who's done wrong to us, but we forget how much wrong we've done in our life. And we forget about how much God has forgiven us. We forget about how big God's grace is in our life. And remember what it says here that in Romans 3:23. Look what it says. It says, for all, that's me, that's you, that's everyone, have sinned, and we all fall short of God's glory. We've all made mistakes. We've all hurt people. We've all done things we're not proud of. We've all done things. We've all sinned. And so, but the great thing is this, that God's amazing grace comes to me while I was yet a sinner. And as I believe him, he restores me back into right relationship with the Father. Not because I earn it, because I accept what happened on the cross. God treated Jesus the way I needed to be treated, putting him on the cross so that in return, he can now treat me the way he treats his son. When he looks at me, he looks at his son and sees his son because I've accepted the work of the cross. This is the powerful thing. It's called grace. It's called mercy. We've received it from God, and God says, now I want you to give it away. And when you struggle with giving away grace and mercy to those that have really, really hurt you, remember how much he's forgiven us. Remember the kind of grace, the level he's given us. And say, God, all right, you've forgiven me of much. I'm going to let go. See, we all want mercy for ourselves, just not for the person who hurts us. We all want mercy for ourselves. But just not for the person who did us wrong. We want them to hurt. You see, we got to reverse this in our life. Let me ask you a question. Is there a path to healing that bypasses forgiveness? Is there a path to healing that bypasses forgiveness? Can I get to my place of healing without going back to my personal shack? You see, I can't get to healing, truly healing, by going around it. I've got to go back to the place of my deepest hurts. I got to go back to my deepest rejection. I got to go back to my place of deepest disappointments and pain. I can't bypass it if I'm going to get healed. I got to revisit those places and say, God, I'm going there only to say this, that the shack is no longer going to keep hold of me. No longer am I going to be held a prisoner of unforgiveness. No longer am I going to be held a prisoner of shame. No longer am I going to be held a prisoner of disappointment, of hurt. But God, I'm stepping out of that thing now, and I'm letting it go. I love what he says. Forgiveness doesn't establish a relationship. That's what he said. Papa said, forgiveness doesn't establish a relationship. Remember what he says? It's simply letting go of their throat. You see, when we're angry and we're bitter, in the spirit, we're just like grabbing a hold of that person's throat like, I want you to hurt. I want you to pay for the pain you've caused me. I want you to get your justice. I want you to get what you deserve. I want you to hurt. I want you to feel the pain I feel. And we walk around with our hands around their throat. And forgiveness is not saying, all right, hey, we're best friends. It's not even saying, I will ever let you back into my life, because if that person doesn't change, you don't give them an excuse to come back in and hurt you. Okay? I'm not saying you let them back in to hurt you, but what you are saying is this, I'm letting my hand off your throat and saying this, God, I'm giving them to you. I'm not going to be a prisoner. See, it's like us taking a bottle of poison, opening it up, drinking it ourselves, and hoping that the person we're mad at dies. See, that's what we're doing. When we're hanging on to bitterness and anger, when we hang on to unforgiveness, we're opening up that poison and we're drinking ourselves, hoping the other person dies. It makes no sense. You see, I've got to let it go. And all the meantime, that person is living their life. That person is out there just doing their thing, having fun. Not even worried about the mistakes they made. And we're over here, right back in the shack, a prisoner of the hurt, or a prisoner of the rejection, a prisoner of this place, saying, don't you see how much you hurt me? Don't you see? And they're like, nope, I'm moved on. Many of you are waiting for an apology that'll never happen. How do I get free from that then, Pastor? What the words of Christ, what Scripture teaches. God, I let go of their throat. I'm letting them go to you. God, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to pray for those who persecute me. God, your vengeance is better than mine can ever be. So I just release them to you. If you extend mercy to them, then you extend mercy to me. So who am I to judge what you're doing in their life? If you pay them back, God, what you pay them back will be even greater than what I could ever do on my own. So I release them to you. I'm going to walk the path of forgiveness. As hard as it is, I walk the path of forgiveness. Look what Matthew 18 says, verses 21 through 22. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? And Peter thought he was being pretty cool. Hey, how about seven times? Seven times a day. That's a number. I know that's God's number. I notice it sticks out a lot in Scripture. So how about seven times? Peter feeling really good about himself. Jesus looks at him and is like, Pete, no, I don't tell you to forgive someone seven times a day. I tell you to forgive them 70 times seven. Let's do the math. 490 times you want to forgive this person? What? It doesn't mean he didn't say that so we walk around with a calculator. All right, you're on 489. You better not cross me today. That was not the message he was trying to say. What he was saying is this, stop keeping count. There's no amount of times I'm asking you not to forgive somebody. Now he did. Forgiving them is not giving them permission to come back in and hurt you. That's not what he's telling you to do. He's saying release them in the spirit. Show them grace when they don't deserve it, because we never become more like Christ than when we forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Because we who are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. I say, God, you handle them. See, can we believe and trust God that he will do what's best? See, that's a part of us growing up in Christ, is we believe that God, you will take care of things. Your way is higher than my way. Your thoughts are greater than my thoughts. So I believe and trust God that your way will be best. Which brings up the question, can we believe that his love is enough for us? Can we believe that God's love is enough for us? That's it. That's where we're at. It's a faith thing. God, can I believe that your love is enough for me? That I don't have to hang on and try to get revenge myself? But God, your love is so great that I can forgive people who don't even deserve it. I can forgive people who don't even ask for it. And realize, God, your love is enough for me. God, you have given me so much love. You have given me so much grace in my life. God, your love is so overwhelming that, God, I'm just going to release that person. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to walk in your love. That's all I need. I told the story today. I want to repeat it again in this service about I had a cousin who was much older than I was. And when I was just a small child, as a teenager, he came to live with our family because he and his siblings were very much abused by my uncle. And my uncle was an alcoholic, raging alcoholic, and womanizer. He would take out his kids, go out and party with them, get drunk, and then go out and have affairs on their mom. And all the time while his kids are right there with them. Then he'd bring his kids home and beat them and tell them, if you ever tell your mom, I'll do it twice as bad. I mean, it was really, really bad, the abuse, the mental abuse. And finally, as teenagers, as the family found out about this, they split the kids up, and all the aunts and uncles took the kids in. And my dad took in one of my cousins into the house. He was much older than I was. And I heard him tell stories, my mom tell stories of when they first took him in, that man would call, my uncle would call and threaten to come over and get him. I'm coming over tonight to get him. You can't kick my kid. I'm coming back to get him. And they spent many nights when my dad was working late night shift that they would have a gun pointed at the door, sitting behind a chair, waiting. My cousin said if he'd have walked through the door, I would have shot him. Because there was no way I was ever going back to live with that man. There was no way I was ever going to go back to that abuse. Fast forward now to a time as he came to live in our home, he gave his life to Christ. God began to do a work in his life. And as he became married and had children of his own, one day he got a phone call from the state and said, hey, your dad is a ward of the state, and we're looking for his oldest child, which is you. We're trying to get a hold of you. Your dad suffered a stroke, and we need someone to take care of. You're in charge. You got to make sure this guy's taken care of. It's like, what? And to make things worse, my uncle had a stroke. And so now the part of his memory that was an alcoholic, a chain smoker, chain cusser, womanizer, abuser, all that part of his brain was dead. And he became the most sweetest, gentlest person you ever met in your life after the stroke. And so here my cousin had to go back, take into his home his father, who had abused him all these years, and be nice to take care of him. And this man had no memory of all the pain he had caused him all of his life. He said, I struggled. He goes, there's times I want to wrap him up in a sheet and just beat him with a bat, man. Just being honest, it's hard for me to do it. He goes, if I had to pray, and as I was taking care of him, this man doesn't even have memory. He can't even ask for forgiveness because he doesn't even remember what he did to us as children. But he says, as I took care of him, I began to pray, God, help me to forgive. God, I forgive. And as he forgave his father, to a point, not only forgiving him, but he took care of him in his old age when he didn't have to. The Holy Spirit came into his life and healed his mind and heart. He said, God never grew me more in my life than when I took care of him. See, that's what happens when we forgive people who don't ask for it. There's people in the same room, and you experience some of the same things. I've heard testimonies from you personally about forgiving someone in your life who didn't ask for it, deserve it. And God came in and did a mighty work in your life when you extended that forgiveness. I'm telling you, it works. It's not that we're forgiving them to help them. We're forgiving them to help us. Because when we forgive them, we step out of the shack and we walk down the path of healing ourselves. God is with us. He's God Emmanuel. The angels declared, he's Emmanuel. God is with us. He didn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. And when you take that step out of the shack, when you take that journey, God, you are with us. And when I take that journey, I don't want to leave, but I take that step of forgiveness out. I'm walking to healing, the path of healing in my life. And when I allow bitterness to settle in my life, unforgiveness, hurt to rule my life, I'm a prisoner to the shack. Unforgiveness keeps me a prisoner in the shack. But when I say, God, forgive, even when that person doesn't deserve it, and I just say, I let my hand off their throat, God, I'm putting them into your hands, and I'm going to let that go, and I'm just going to trust your love, your grace in my life. The Holy Spirit meets us, and God takes us on that path of healing. And the places that were become greatest hurts for you now become places of great healing. Now become places where you talk about the other people who are still living in the shack. Now you talk about the other people who have been hurt, and you talk to other people and say, there's a way out. His name is Jesus. He forgave me and helped me forgive the places in my life. I want to close with this video. It's a video of a gospel artist by the name of Danny Gokey. Many of you guys know him. He was on American Idol a few years back. Right before his audition, 2 weeks before his audition of American Idol, his wife died. So at a young age, he'd just been married not very long, and now his wife dies. He talks about his battle to receive healing, how painful that was for him. He shares a special testimony in this video about a man seeing a heart surgeon and what took place in that surgery. And talks about the place of forgiveness, letting our heart beat again. I want you to listen to this words of testimony from Danny and to hear the song. And I want you just to allow the healing power of the God to come to your shack today, to come to your heart today. Say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to breathe again. I'm ready to live again. I'm tired of being a prisoner in my personal shack. Watch this video.
When I first heard Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, it had such an amazing impact on my heart. You know, not only in its lyrical content, but then when I heard the story behind it, it really changed the way I looked at this song. There was a pastor in Ohio who had a heart surgeon that went to his church. But one of the things that this pastor wanted to do was he wanted to see a heart surgery take place. And when the day of the surgery came, they rolled the patient in and they began to cut her chest cavity open. They took her heart out and they began to repair it. One of the things they do is they have to restart the heart again before they close the chest cavity. And as they began to do the procedures to start the heart wouldn't start. Finally, the doctor did something so out of textbook and not written down. It's just something that you really don't do. And he got down on his knees. He said, Mrs. Johnson, this is your doctor. He said, we have fixed your heart. We have repaired it. There's nothing wrong with your heart. Miss Johnson, if you can hear me, I need you to tell your heart to beat again. And her heart began to beat. And why do I share this story with you? Because the great physician has fixed your heart and my heart. But I find it interesting that sometimes we allow the voice of the enemy to whisper louder than the voice of our Father. And it seems like some of these voices tell us that, you know what, that situation we'll never recover from. Or what that person did, we can never forgive again. But I'm here to let you know that you can forgive again. You can get back up again. You can move forward with your life. And you don't have to walk with a limp. It's simply like this doctor said to this lady. This lady had to come into agreement. The heart was repaired. God has fixed your problem. Your heart is fixed. But you have to come in agreement with God. You know, I look at my story and I look at how I went through loss and how I had to get myself back up. When I look at the pain of my past, it doesn't sting like it used to. But I look back and I see, look what the Lord has done. And I know God wants to do the same for you. I want you to begin to hope again. He wants you to believe again. He wants you to trust again. The great physician, our Father, through Jesus, wants you to tell your heart to beat again.
On the floor, and words fall short in times like these. When this world drives you to your knees, you think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. So tell your heart to beat again, and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there. tell your heart to beat again. Just let that word wash over you. It's alright now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. Because your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. So tell your heart to be. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Let every heart that reminds you who has carried you this far, cause love sees farther than you ever could. In this moment heaven's working everything for your good. So tell your heart to beat again and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Your heart to beat again.
The words of this little song. Other words will say, yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. See, when you allow forgiveness to enter and you say, God, I'm forgiving, you're saying, I'm choosing not to live at the shack any longer. I'm choosing not to be a prisoner here. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Powerful words today. For some of us here, this is what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do today. To say goodbye to where you've been. It's time for you to live again. You've been living a prisoner at the shack way too long. Emotionally, you've been a prisoner. You've been in anger. You've had hurt. You've had bitterness. Some of you suffer depression. Never getting past the shack in your life. Your greatest place is a disappointment. And when you walk the path of forgiveness, saying, God, I'm releasing them to you. You open up and say, God, that day is no longer there. I'm no longer living at the shack. Now I'm walking free. I'm walking close to a child, as a child of the Most High. I'm a child of God. God, you're bringing healing now to my heart. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your head, I just want to ask you this question today. How many here today say, Pastor, as you're speaking, I got a lot of places in my life. I need a lot of things. God's speaking to me. Maybe it's one thing. Maybe it's a big thing. Maybe it's several small things. But if you hear, say, man, God's really speaking to me about learning to let go and forgive some people in my life. Anyone here, if that's you, can you just raise your hands? That's me. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, hands going up all across the room today. See, we all deal with this. It's something that's very, very, very real to us. Before we pray, I want to ask you another question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never even asked Jesus into my life. See, that's the first step of healing. It's simply saying, I want to be restored back to a relationship with Jesus. Jesus, if you're real, I want to accept you, and I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you come to reconcile man to God. And today, I'm tired of living this life on my own. Nobody's looking around, and I won't do anything to embarrass you at all. But if you want to accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, can you just lift your hand where I can see it and say, that's me? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say, that's me. I'm ready. Thank you, guys. I see those hands going up. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say this prayer, and I want you just to repeat it after me. If you raise your hand, I want you to repeat it after me. And if you're as a Christian around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I accept your love, your forgiveness into my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it from your heart, we say welcome to the family of God. Just give me a hand. Yeah, big thank today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you as you leave today to stop by our Welcome Center. We got a free Bible. We'd love to give it to you. Some information on what's next. It's only the start. See, you need to be plugged into a church home with people who love you, support you, where you can learn and grow. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you come back so we can just bring you into the family of God. If you have a church home, go back and tell somebody, man, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. So many of you raised your hands today and say, I'm ready to forgive. As we close this song, I want you to simply today say, God, as I lift my hands to Him, especially those who raised your hand for forgiveness, say, God, I'm lifting my hands to you. Opening up my palms towards you, saying, Father, take this thing from me. Take this bitterness. Take this hurt. Take this anger. Take this rejection. This unforgiveness I've been carrying around, God, I give it to you now. As a child would give his father something, Father, we release it to you now. With open hands, with open hearts, we release it to you now. We give you, God. We give you everything, God. We give it to you, God. And now, Father, we're going to extend forgiveness. We're going to take the steps now, extending forgiveness, God. Forgiving those that have hurt us, forgiving us, God. Leading us down the path, Lord, of walking, of healing of our own. When we forgive those who don't even deserve it. God, we release them now into your hands. And as we close with this song, I want you to let it ring from your heart today. Say, Father, it's all about you. I release now your love.
So let it echo from the city to the nations, the sound of praise. So let the windows of the heavens open wide. Let it rain.
Come on, ask God to let heaven fall. God, we want to receive the forgiveness. We want to give the forgiveness, God. Come on, one more time, church. Let's lift it up for our hearts. Please, Lord. Oh.
Thank you today, God. You are releasing, God, in the spirit, God. You're releasing many people in this house this morning. I just feel like burdens are lifting right now. Some of you are forgiving right now. You're releasing. Many of you are forgiving fathers who abandoned you. Some of you are forgiving people who hurt you deeply. Many of you are forgiving an ex who cheated on you and abandoned you. Whoever it is in your life today, God is causing you right now to release that in the spirit. I believe right now God's giving you freedom from that. This is your day to be released in the name of Jesus. This is your day to be released and to be made whole in the name of Jesus. So, Father, right now, I pray as many people have stepped forward in faith, have raised their hands in faith today, that God, we are releasing. We are releasing that person now to you. God, we're releasing them to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And right now, God, I pray that, God, they take a step of forgiveness, take a step toward forgiving, that, God, your grace, your mercy, your spirit meet them there right now, flooding their life, flooding their mind, flooding their heart. And God, you are setting them free from the prison of their own shack. That God, no longer are we to be held captive to that place any longer. No longer to be held prisoner to that place any longer. But we declare in the Spirit, we are walking free. We are walking healed. And we are walking changed. In Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. If you believe that, put your hands together. Come on, you can do better than that. Give God a shout of praise. Wow. Well, I know that was heavy today, but much, much, much healing was taking place today. I sense it in my spirit. Many of you are processing, and God is doing something. Just walk out of here today knowing God is walking with you on this journey. You're not walking that path of forgiveness alone. He understands. He walked it on the cross. He walked it on the cross for you and I. And when he uttered the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He understands what it means to have people do you wrong, even when you came to do them right. Even when you came to give your life for them, they still rejected you. He understands that. You know what he says? Father, forgive them. So he understands the struggle. He understands the pain. Just give it to him today. Take that path and say, Father, I'm giving it to you. I'm walking this path of healing in Jesus' name. We love you so much. Turn around, get some of the high fives, say, God is good. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.